So today I talk about real-time simulation of classical EMLs. Of course, I want to study quantum theory, but that's hard. So as a modest starting point, we should think seriously about classical EMLs. And the motivation is gauge gravity duality. According to gauge gravity duality, if the conjecture is true, we can learn about quantum gravity and the black hole by solving gauge theory. So gauge theory should give the non-perturbative formulation of quantum gravity. That's a basic philosophy of Maldacena's proposal. And of course, solving it is very difficult to solve EMLs theory, gauge theory, analytically. So numerical method can be very helpful. And the numerically most tractable example is correspondence between 0 plus 1 dimensional maximal super EMLs, which is just a matrix quantum mechanics, and black zero blend in type 2A superstring theory. And this 0 plus 1 dimensional maximal super EMLs is, of course, known as a matrix model of supermembrane proposed by Dewitt, Hoppe, and Nicolai, and also matrix model of M theory proposed by Banks, Fischler, Shake, and Susskind. And this is the action. So lambda is a Tofuft coupling, G squared times N. And there are 9 scalar fields, which are N by N matrices. And this DT is covariant derivative, and we have only time direction. And there is a fermion, which is superpartner of a scalar. And one thing which is important later is that this theory, which is obtained by dimensionally reducing 4-dimensional super EMLs theory to 1 dimension, is of course not conformal. And this lambda, the Tofuft coupling, is actually dimension full. And it has a dimension of the cubic power of mass. Then effective dimensionless temperature is lambda to the minus 1/3 times T, right? So lambda has a mass dimension of mass cube, so this is a mass inverse, and the temperature has mass dimension. So this is a dimensionless combination. And this lambda, because it's dimensionful, it plays a role of something like lambda QCD. Any dimensionful quantity is measured in unit of this lambda. Then high temperature means large Q effective, but it's the same as a small lambda. Okay. So high temperature and weak coupling are the same thing. And if we consider thermodynamics, then stringy regime, which has a large alpha prime correction, corresponds to high temperature region. And agreement with the supergravity should become good at the low temperature. And previously, thermodynamics with imaginary time has been studied extensively. And large and strong coupling seems to agree with supergravity. And as I will show in the next slide, large and finite coupling is consistent with supergravity plus alpha prime correction. And also finite n, at finite n level, 1 over n correction seems to agree with the GS correction. And this is the plot from our paper in 2007. So x-axis is temperature, but strictly speaking, T effective, which is dimensionless. And this axis is energy divided by n squared. And this solid line is a prediction from dual supergravity, which is a black hole mass. And we plotted the energy of the system as a function of temperature. And these points are the simulation result. And at low temperature, because it's strongly coupled, it should go close to supergravity result. And it does go close. And this dotted line is a weak coupling expansion. So at high temperature, it agrees with weak coupling expansion. And at low temperature, it goes close to supergravity result. And if we zoom up here, so this is supergravity. And this is simulation result, which it does go close to the supergravity. And this deviation is consistent with stringy alpha prime correction. And this plot is from our paper in 2008. And recently, Kado and Kamata made a similar plot. They look pretty much similar, right? But if you carefully look at them, there's a slight deviation. And they think, they say our result is might suffer from a finite cutoff effect. And they also say their result suffer from finite cutoff effect. So we will take continuum limits soon and show you know, whether this deviation is a, so this is a, of course, this simulation is done with a finite cutoff, at finite cutoff, so it may have a small finite cutoff effect. So we will see, take continuum limit, and see whether this fitting result doesn't change. But so far, these two results look pretty much similar, and both are consistent with the stringy prediction. But there is a error bar, and we want to shrink the error bar. And please stay tuned. And if you want to do such simulation, then I can give you free simulation code. And so imaginary time simulation, thermodynamics is pretty much successful so far. And but here, one thing we have to be careful about is eigenvalues or diagonal element of matrices describes intuitively describes the position of these zero planes. And if we consider the bound state of eigenvalues, intuitively it corresponds to black hole. But in this model, there is a flat direction, which corresponds to something like gas of these zero planes. And if you look at this phase does not describe black hole at all. And the result I have shown in a previous slide is a simulation result for this phase. And this phase actually reproduced the dual black hole thermodynamics. This fact is important later. And I want to go to real-time study. Okay, so Steve Schenker is my collaborator for this work. And when I show the simulation result of the thermodynamics, he said, that's very nice. And he smiled and said, but why don't you do real-time study? And of course, he knew that it's very difficult. So I thought, what a jerk. But we have to do real-time simulation if we want to learn about real-time nature of black hole, which is important for information puzzle. Okay? And the full quantum study is impossible with current technology. And maybe new techniques, which is called complex large band, may work, or I think in Parameter, many people are working in quantum computation, and such idea may work. But unless we have a breakthrough, we cannot study full quantum real-time simulation. And that strong coupling, we can use certain approximation, and it's tractable. And today, I talk about classical real-time evolution. And of course, classical theory and quantum theory are different. But we know that classical theory is a good approximation of quantum theory in certain parameter region, of course, from our daily experience. And such parameter region is, of course, high temperature. Okay, so Boltzmann constant times temperature must be bigger than typical value of H nu. Okay. And in this theory, high temperature means weak coupling, as we have seen. But this is, as we will see, this is highly nonlinear and non-perturbative regime. So you can imagine it's something like a soliton of matrix model. And as we will see, the formation and evaporation of black hole can be seen in this limit. It's a bit surprising. At least we are surprised. And as I explained briefly, so eigenvalues are the zero position of these zero planes. And such phase is black hole. This is gas of these airplanes. But of course, we can imagine a situation where only one of the eigenvalues are emitted from a bunch of other eigenvalues. Intuitively, this corresponds to evaporation of black hole via the emission of the zero brand. And in certain parameter region, it might be possible to identify it with Hawking radiation, but in a two-fifth limit, this is an emission of very heavy particle. Yeah, but still, it is analogous to Hawking evaporation. Then, if we can see such effect, then it should be possible to see black hole evaporation in this model. And as we will see, this evaporation is suppressed when n is infinity. In gravity side, we can understand this in the following way. So Gs corresponds to 1 over n, and the black zero brand solution is stable at large n. But if we take into account Gs, then such tunneling of the zero brand can happen. And also in a thermodynamic simulation, we observe that at large, at finite n, such a runaway behavior by eigenvalue can be seen, and at large n, it's suppressed. And we want to see such thing in a real-time setup. Oh, and this is actually the same plot. So this is temperature, this is energy of a black hole. And in this plot, you know, high temperature region can be described by classical gauge theory. And this red straight line is energy predicted by classical mu theory. So energy divided by n squared is simply 6 times t. And then at high temperature, we can see that quantum theory go closer to classical theory. And just by coincidence, low temperature is also close. But the point is, okay, so here classical approximation is good. And in this theory, in this parameter region, it's dual to black hole in weakly coupled gravity. And there is no phase transition in between. So this difference is 1 over t.
What?
This difference between this dotted line and the red line is 1 over t.
Well,
and if we,
with the red line.
Yeah. So this is classical energy calculated from classical mu theory. And this is the simulation result.
Ah, okay.
And this is a weak 1 over t expansion. And this 1 over t expansion is actually 6t plus 1 over t. Yeah, this picture is a bit, you know, cheating because here and here, which is closer, maybe this is closer, but this is just by coincidence. But anyway, so there is no phase transition in between, and we, of course, we want to know the dynamics around here, but numerically we can study here, and there is no phase transition in between. So we hope that at least qualitatively, we can learn about the real-time dynamics of the weakly coupled gravity region from weakly coupled gauge theory. And as I will show later, qualitatively, they look pretty much similar. And the problem we solve is very simple. So this is a Lagrangian. So we consider high temperature limit, and we consider classical dynamics, so we forget about fermion. Okay, and this is a Lagrangian of the bosonic part. Then we just solve equation of motion. Then if we take A equals to, so this dt contains gauge field A, and if we take the gauge condition A equals to zero, then we get Gauss's law constraint and this equation of motion. And we just discretize it and solve it numerically. And it took just 15 minutes for me to program it. And a student of Stanford could do it the same thing in 10 minutes. So it's very easy. But we will say it's very rich. And this theory is actually invariant on the trivial scaling of time and scalar field. Okay, so we multiply any number alpha to x, and also this x is a function of t, and we divide the time by alpha. Then this equation of motion is invariant, but energy and temperature change this way. So at classical level, you know, we can change the temperature and then energy changes, but actually different temperature, different energy are related by this trivial scaling. And so in classical theory, essentially there is no such a thing like temperature, or any temperatures are the same. But when we want to identify it with the quantum theory, it corresponds to high temperature region of quantum theory. Okay, so in the following, I show the value of energy or temperature in many places, but they're essentially all the same. So you can just imagine temperature is one. Okay, and I said at high temperature, classical approximation is valid. But let me phrase it more precisely. This is important later when we consider the evaporation of black hole. So in matrix model, we have potential term here. And if we imagine this x is close to diagonal and off-diagonal elements are small, then diagonal elements are regarded as the zero planes. And if off-diagonal element is large, that means many open strings connecting to the zero planes are excited. Then from this commutated squared interaction, we obtain the mass of a string, mass of open string, which is proportional to distance between the zero planes. But if we in a matrix model language, off-diagonal element looks like harmonic oscillator, okay, with whose frequency is the same as mass of open string. Okay, and now our Planck constant h is 1. So h nu corresponds to distance between eigenvalues. Okay, and h nu must be smaller than Boltzmann constant times temperature. So this distance must be much shorter than temperature. And in matrix model at high temperature, we can show that if we consider black hole, which is a single bunch of eigenvalues, distance between diagonal elements scales as t to the 1/4. Then if t is large, this is much smaller than t, and the classical approximation is valid. But if we consider such gas like phase, then distance between brains can be much larger than temperature, then classical approximation is actually not valid. And first, let us see formation and thermalization of a black hole. Here, by black hole, I simply mean bunch of eigenvalues. Okay, so this weakly coupled region is not really dual to weakly coupled gravity. So the terminology black hole is a bit ambiguous. Okay. Here I just use it, just by black hole, I just mean a bunch of eigenvalues. But without any phase transition, it's smoothly connected to real black hole. And this system is actually chaotic. And you know, because it has a nonlinear interaction, it's easy to imagine, I think. Then if we consider the classical real-time evolution, so energy is conserved, of course. Then these eigenvalues change the distribution. But then in chaotic system, it just goes all over the microcanonical ensemble. Then most typical state appears. And by typical, I mean which is entropically dominant. And if you consider bunch of eigenvalues, then off-diagonal elements or open strings are very light, so they can be excited. So all n squared matrix degrees of freedom can be excited. So entropy is n squared. But if you imagine gas of these zero planes, then open strings are long. They cannot be excited. Then only diagonal element. By using only diagonal element, we can characterize the state. So entropy is just n. Then, of course, this state is more typical. So if we start to rather generic configuration, we end up with this configuration. I will show it, show the numerical result later. For example, if we start with a collision of two black holes, or two bunches of eigenvalues, then we can see that it evolves to a single bunch of black hole. And so here there are several parameters, you know, initial velocity or distance, but that's not very important. So you can just imagine, you know, two bunches at some distance collide with some speed. And even if we change the distance or speed, physics is more or less the same. So if we collide two bunches which are separated along x1 direction, then trace x1 squared divided by n basically describes the distance between two black holes. Then so it decreases, so two bunches collide and oscillates several times, then it goes to some finite value. And if you zoom, up here, so you can see that it oscillates around a certain value. It just describes, so they just form single bunch and it just slightly oscillates, but it stays near the origin. And if you, so this dt is a step size for the discretization. And even if you make dt very small, at a certain time, error suddenly appears, which is very typical behavior in chaotic system. And even in chaotic system, of course, we can assume the ergodicity. Then entropically, at a later time, we should see more or less the same state, which does not depend on initial condition. So we can see collision of two black holes and a completely different initial condition, which is like a non-thermalized distribution of eigenvalues. Then at first, trace xm squared divided by 9n. This is more or less the same as trace x1 squared divided by n, which characterizes the distance. They go to the same value, and even the oscillation pattern looks almost exactly the same. And already at finite n, from information at later time, it's almost impossible to distinguish two initial conditions. And we can also see, so here I plotted trace x1 divided by n squared, trace x2 divided by n squared, and so on. So there are n such quantities. And if two bunches are separated in x1 directions, at first, trace x1 squared divided by n is very large, and others start with zero. But at late time, they go to the same value. And it happens at finite n. So rotational symmetry is restored already at finite n. And if you change value of n, from this it's hard to see. But if you zoom up here, you can see that oscillation is one of n suppressed. So fluctuation is small at larger n. And of course, we expect that because large n is a thermodynamic limit. And we can see nice one of n scaling. And this is energy. So in because of the Villard theorem, kinetic energy is related to potential energy. And the time average of kinetic energy is twice the time average of potential energy, and which is two-thirds of total energy, and the total energy is conserved, and kinetic energy and the potential energy fluctuate as a function of time. Then if we take this difference, then it just oscillates around zero, and then fluctuation becomes smaller and smaller. We can clearly see the thermalization at large M. And this is one by scaling. So as if we go to larger N, here I took, before taking expectation value, I took absolute value. Okay, so this quantity characterized the size of the oscillation. And at large N, it is proportional to 1 by N and disappeared. So thermalization can really be seen. You can just imagine the eigenvalues are position of the zero brains and they form bound state. That's it. And that's not surprising, and we expected that happens. But actually, in this very simple classical system, we can even see fast scrambling, which we didn't expect at first. So fast scrambling is first proposed by Sekin and Saskin, and recently argued by many people, including Maldasena Schenker, Stanford, I think. So we imagine we add a string, we drop string to black hole, then it's spread over the horizon, and how fastly it it is stretched around the horizon. That time scale is called scrambling time. Or in matrix terminology, we can perturb matrix configuration, which corresponds to black hole, by small amount. Okay, at t equals to zero, perturbation is very small. But actually, this perturbation grows very quickly. Then, at later time, dx and dv is almost as large as the size of the black hole. Then at first, we knew that even if dx is small, so dx can be regarded as the precision of your information about microstate of the black hole. Then at first, uncertainty is very small, but uncertainty dx and dv quickly grows. That means information is scrambled. Okay, then by looking at how these perturbations grow, we can estimate the scrambling time. And the Sekin and the Saskin did this similar calculation in a gravity side, and they concluded that scrambling time must be log n. But probably nobody had ever derived this value from gauge theory. But actually, by solving that very simple equation of motion, which you can program in, just spending 10 minutes, we can see this fast scrambling. In order to characterize the scrambling time, we introduce a notion of Lyapunov exponent. So at t equals to zero, we have a small perturbation. And in chaotic system, this small difference at the initial time grows exponentially. So norm of dx is proportional to exponential lambda l times time. This lambda l is called the Lyapunov exponent. And if a system has a positive Lyapunov exponent, then such system is chaotic because small difference of initial condition leads to huge difference at later time. Okay, so we measure this Lyapunov exponent. And what we do is very simple. So we let x evolve in time by solving equation of motion. And we also see the time evolution of x plus dx. Then just take the difference. Okay, so this is a result from n equals to 8. And we change the size of the initial perturbation. But at a later time, so this is log scale. Okay, so this t, this is the time, this is the norm of dx in log scale. And at a later time, we can see straight line behavior. Okay, so here perturbation grows exponentially, and this slope is Lyapunov exponent. Very good question. So, So this XT is a matrix. XMT is a matrix, and in we solve the classical dynamics of a set of matrices. Okay, and of course, this X has some typical size. Okay, in Tofuf counting, trace XM squared is of order n quantity. Of course, it fluctuates as a function of time. And we perturb XM to XM plus DX, X plus DX. And this is a very small quantity at first. Okay, but at later time, the stress DX squared, which we called norm squared, this is a trace of x prime minus x squared. And this is a chaotic system. Then at a later time, this x and x prime are essentially independent. So essentially, at a later time, if you pick up any random x and x prime from microcanonical ensemble, you get dx is almost the same. So if at a later time, typical value of dx can be estimated by taking a random configuration, x prime and x from microcanonical ensemble. But from the same Tofuf counting, this is order n. Okay, and actually, what happened?